Attacking Faulty Reasoning, A Practical Guide to Fallacy-Free Arguments by T. Edward Damer quotes. Code of Intellectual Conduct, 5, The Principle of Charity. If a participant's argument is reformulated by an opponent, it should be carefully expressed in its strongest possible version that is consistent with what is believed to be the original intention of the arguer. If there is any question about that intention or about any implicit part of the argument, the arguer should be given the benefit of any doubt in the reformulation and/or, when possible, given the opportunity to amend it. 10. The Rebuttal Principle. One who presents an argument for or against a position should include in the argument an effective rebuttal to all anticipated serious criticisms of the argument that may be brought against it or against the position it supports. The Clarity Principle. The formulations of all positions, defenses, and attacks should be free of any kind of linguistic confusion and clearly separated from other positions and issues. Any successful discussion of an issue must be carried on in language that all the parties involved can understand. Even if what we have to say is perfectly clear to ourselves, others may not be able to understand us. A position or a criticism of it that is expressed in confusing, vague, ambiguous, or contradictory language will not reach those toward whom it is directed, and it will contribute little to resolving the issue at hand. Most reasonably clever people can devise what appears to be a good argument for whatever it is that they believe or want us to believe. For example, virtually every jury in a criminal trial is impressed by the quality of the prosecutor's argument. If that were the only argument heard, nearly all juries would convict the accused. It is the defense attorney's rebuttal and the prosecutor's response to that rebuttal that give the jury the whole picture and the proper basis for decision. Fallacy of the mean definition, assuming that the moderate or middle view between two extremes must be the best or right one simply because it is the middle view. Another name for this bit of faulty thinking is the fallacy of moderation. It is often assumed, indeed, it is unfortunately a part of our conventional wisdom, that a position on an issue that is somewhere in the middle is always the best simply because it is in the middle. However, the fact that a particular position is the moderate one has nothing to do with its worth. Even though in some situations, a moderate view may in fact be the best or most justifiable position to take, in many other situations, the so-called extreme or radical solution to a problem is the most defensible one. In any case, a premise that embodies the unwarranted assumption that the middle position is always the best one is an unacceptable premise and can disqualify as a good argument any argument in which it appears. It should perhaps be pointed out that sometimes a compromise may be the only practical way to resolve some difficult situations. For example, a compromise may prevent continued economic deprivation, bloodshed, or mental anguish. Even though it is not a fallacy to compromise in order to settle such disputes, it is a fallacy to conclude that a compromise solution is the most defensible one simply because it is the compromise solution.